Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, the song says, all things work together for the good. May not see it now, but God can use trials and tears and a lot of things. We're glad you're here tonight. Glad to see the Yates with us tonight. For the last time, we're going to see them because Latta's taking them away from us. So, but pray for the Lattas. Last Wednesday night for not only Brother Latta and Miss Julie, but also for the children in Master Club. And so I know it's going to be tough, and I hope that you pray for them. And certainly we are honored to have them be a part of our family and hate to let them go. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read several verses, if you'll bear with me. I want to read the first 15 verses, and then we'll talk about a few things tonight. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you whatsoever. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. I know that scares people when you say that. But it is not saying you lose your salvation. It is saying that when you go back to the law, you're walking away from grace. In other words, somebody put it this way. We walk in grace. We live in grace. We're saved by grace. One day we'll die by grace. But when you turn from that to go back to the law, you're turning from grace. You're falling from that. Not that you're losing your salvation, but God's giving us grace to live our life by. And when you go back to live in the old life or going back to live in the law, you are turning from the very grace of God in your life. And I don't know about you, but I need grace. Amen. I need the grace. By the way, if you're living in the law, as he says in verse 3, you're a debtor to the whole law. In other words, you can't pick and choose which ones you want to live by. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying they were picking and choosing circumcision as a way of becoming a Jew, and we'll talk about it later. But that's just a very small part of the law. There's 613 laws in the Old Testament, and what was happening in the New Testament is that they were picking and choosing the ones that they like. It's not a buffet. It's not Golden Corral, right? It is the law. You either keep all of it or you keep nothing, and that's why Jesus Christ had to come. If the law could have saved us, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. But Jesus came as the law personified in body. And then notice what he says, verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And here's where we'll take our title from tonight. And it's the first four words. Ye did run well. Past tense. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. That, in other words, it's not of God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we know that. Verse 10 says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I love that. Paul said, whoever is telling you these lies, he's going to face his judgment, and whoever he be. And can I just give you a little snippet? The first two chapter, or chapter 2 and 3, Peter was to blame. Chapter 3, Peter was the one to blame for some of this confusion among the people. Matter of fact, Paul said he had to go to him and face to face and tell him, look, one day you were saying it's all right to get along with the Jews and the Gentiles, but when times got tough, you just went to the Jews' side and said, I don't want nothing to do with those Gentiles. So it was confusing even what Peter was doing. We have to be careful what we do in action because it becomes a gospel to those who are not saved. Does that make sense? Our actions a lot of times tell people the Lord, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes our actions can be confusing. And I'm going to get on that in a little while, so just buckle up. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach uncircumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. I would that were, maybe, verse 12. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. I love what Paul's saying. I wish they were even cut off from you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So tonight we'll go back to verse 7 and we'll just preach on the subject of the first four words. You did run well. And so we want to look at this scripture and see how did the churches of Galatia, how did they get off track? How did they not run their race well? In other words, they must have started off running well. They must have started off from the start blocks running well. And we know that they did according to Acts chapter 14. And Acts chapter 15 tells us kind of where they went awry. If you want more context to this, you go back home and you read Acts chapter 14 and Acts chapter 15. And really it tells us about these churches in Galatia. But let's pray and then we'll ask the Lord to help us. We'll ask the Lord to help us and then we'll preach. Father, we love you. And God, I do come to you tonight, Lord, realizing that I'm nothing on my own. Lord, that I have nothing to say. Lord, I have nothing, Lord, that I could do that would change a life tonight. But Lord, I sure know that you can. And Lord, I know that your word can. I know that your spirit can. And so, Father, I yield to you, to your Holy Spirit, to your word tonight. And Lord, asking you to just use me in the next few moments to relay your message tonight. And Lord, help us all to not be in past tense that we ran well, but Lord, that we are running well. And Lord, when we died, that we ran well. And Lord, that we finished our course, as Paul said. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, give us open hearts and open minds. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I know I just mentioned in the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I ran my course. I finished my course. And Paul was writing here to the churches of Galatia. And you can look back at chapter 1, verse 2. And he says that he's writing to the churches of Galatia. Now, these churches were like Iconium, Lystra, and those places there in the central province of Galatia. And we know that it was several churches that he was writing to. And we don't know if Paul started all these churches, but we do know that Paul had a part in that. And we know that he was concerned about them. That's why he's writing this letter. This letter would have went out to these churches to really kind of be almost like 1st and 2nd Corinthians to correct them about their wrongdoing. And we have the Bible tonight to help us when we get off track and when we swerve in the way and when we go back into that place of bondage in our life. And so as we look at this, really the premise of the book of Galatians is this. And it's a great subject, circumcision. We love to talk about that at our dinner table, and so do y'all. I know you do. And people shy away from it, but it was a biblical thing that they did. Jewish boys at the 8 day old, they were circumcised. And matter of fact, we still use that kind of in our world today. But what was happening is that the Gentiles did not to do that because the Jews believed in doing that, that they became a Jew, that they became in the promise of Abraham that was left for Abraham. And so what was happening here is that these people that were saved, specifically the Gentiles that were saved in the churches of Galatia, they got saved, they believed Jesus Christ, they started off really well, and then something happened. The Jews came in, or the other Gentiles that had been saved, we call them Judaizers, came in and said, salvation by grace, but you have to be a Jew. And they said the way you have to be a Jew is that you have to be circumcised. And a lot of these Gentiles were really being brainwashed by, okay, well, we need to do that too. But I want to remind you that once you're saved, there's nothing else you need to do to gain favor with God. There's no act that you have to do. In other words, even if you get saved and you never got baptized, you still would go to heaven. Now, I'm not recommending it because I believe that it's part of our obedience is to be baptized because Jesus Christ set forth that example for us. And I believe we need to be baptized. But I'm telling you that we need Jesus. And Jesus plus nothing and Jesus minus nothing. Because if He was not enough, then guess what? We're looking for another Messiah. But He was it. The law took the Old Testament and all the things that they realized they couldn't keep. And when Jesus came, He kept every law. He was, and I said it earlier, He is the law personified. And He fulfilled that law, and then He went to the cross. And He died for our sins. He was buried, and up from the grave He arose. With a mighty triumph over His foes, He arose the victor. Over a dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. I'm ready. I'm ready. Ain't you? I'm ready to go. And listen, here's the thing is that we look at what they were saying to these people of Galatia, and they were trying to draw them away. I want to give you a few verses. Let's look at chapter 1, if you will. We're going to look at Galatians just real quick. To kind of give you the context here of what really Paul is talking about, go back, if you will, to chapter 1 and verse 6. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Notice what Paul says. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him, that's Jesus, that called you into His grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Paul said, look, I am so amazed that you have been drawn away so quickly. Now notice, if you will, over in chapter 2. Chapter 2. And let's look at verse 4 and 5. He says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. What? Into that bondage. Notice what he says. To whom we gave place by subjection? No. Not for an hour. Paul says, look, they're out there. They've come in to try to spy out our liberty. He said, but I didn't give them a time. He said, I didn't give them... Remember when Nehemiah was on top of the mountain and Sanballat and Tobiah came by and said, hey, we really need to meet with you. I love what he says. Oh, no. I can't go to oh, no. That's basically what he said. He said, I'm not coming down. This is such a great work. I'm not going to come down. And what happened is that they begin to creep in. Now go, if you will, to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Notice the first two words. Really, if the first one's really not a word. But he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now he says that you're foolish. Why? Because somebody's tricked you. Notice on down he says, look at verse 3. He says, are ye so foolish? Having begun, now here it is, they began well. Began in the Spirit and are now perfect by the flesh, in other words, Paul's saying, you started off by the Spirit of God, living the Christian life, but now you think that through the flesh you're going to appease God? I love that. I love how he says that. Now, look, if you will, chapter 4. Chapter 4, real quick. I'm telling you, it kind of builds this case of what is happening in chapter 5. He says in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. He said, when we were lost, when we were under the law, we were under the elements of the world. Now going down, he talks about in verse, go on over to, I'm trying to not be too hurried, but go over to verse, chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. No. Sorry, verse 9 here. I put chapter 9. Yeah, there we go. Sorry, chapter 4, verse 9, not chapter 5. He says, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. By the way, it's better to be known of God than to know God. I'm glad He knows me. I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Notice how he says, how turn ye, there's that word again, to the weak and beggarly. You know what that word means. It means to beg. Elements, there's that word again, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Paul says, why in the world do you want to go backwards? And if you look at that word elements and you look it up, it is the same word that is used in Colossians chapter 2 verses 8 through 10 that talk about the rudiments of the world. And if you really want to understand what the elements are, you go over to Colossians chapter 2 and it tells you what that word rudiment and the word element is the same Greek word. And it really gives you a definition that they came underneath the power of this world and the things of this world that they thought they could appease God by what they did. Now, I want to say tonight that all of us should start off well. But I want to also say that we all should end well. One statement that has hurt the cause of Christ is this: I used to, and fill in the blank. Now, I understand sometimes God changes ministries and things like that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I don't want to be a used to. Well, I used to be this, or I used to be in this, or I used to teach this, or I used to sing here. I used to play this, or I used to read this. I used to do this. I'm telling you, we need some people to stand up and say, I'm going to be. I am. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to stay on course and not allow the people of the world and not allow the things of the world to get me off course. I want to give you some thanks tonight. I bet y'all can't guess how many. How did they get off track? I'll give you these three things. Number one, they misplaced their love. You see it in chapter 5, verse 13 and 15. I want you to look at it with me. Verses 13 through 15. They misplaced their love. Notice what it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 15 says, "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not consume one another." Notice that you're going to be consumed by each other. Basically, here's what Paul is saying, is that when we live in the life of liberty, sometimes we can lose the love for our brethren. Why? Because we're in pursuit of pleasing God. And the fact that it is, we're trying to please God by the wrong means. Does that make sense? And what happens when we are in pursuit of trying to please God by the wrong means is that we push others aside because it is now a competition. It is a competition that, hey, I did six of the law today and you only did four. I was watching. You say, how do you think that could be true? Because you ever heard of the people called the Pharisees? The Pharisees thought they could earn favor by what they did. You know what's funny about the Pharisees, though? You ever thought about this? Is that every time Jesus and the disciples did something wrong, they were always like, "Caught you!" But you ever thought about this? Is that they were following Him. They had to hear the truth. They had to know the truth, but yet it's so funny. Even in a corn maze, Jesus and His disciples are in a corn maze, and they pluck off an ear of corn on the wrong day, and the Pharisees hop out behind the ears of corn and say, "Ha, caught you." Why? Because in the pursuit of trying to please God the wrong way, here's what's going to happen. You're going to try to push away your brothers and sisters, because then it becomes a competition. But what ought to happen in the Christian life is we ought to join hands together as brothers and sisters in Christ, especially at Heritage Baptist Church, and be a help one to another. Jesus told the world, He said that the way that they're going to know that you're My disciples is that, or told His disciples that the way that the world's going to know, I said that backwards, the way that the world's going to know that you're My disciple is how? That you have love one for another. See, I believe that the churches of Galatia got off track because they quit loving the way they did. And several times in this scripture, He talks about the love that they should have one for another. I believe churches are suffering today because there is a lack of love one for another. My enemies are not inside this room, I don't think. Our enemy is the devil. See, I believe this. I believe see, the law was about rules, right? But liberty and grace is about what? About love one for another. I believe we ought to love one another. You say, well, that's mushy. That's scripture. See, we've let the liberal world out there take the word love and use it in their own terms, where God several times talks about love. Talks about that God is love. Yes, He is love. That we ought to love one another. And so many times we are too busy breaking each other down instead of loving one another. And I'm just as guilty as the next. But they misplaced their love. Number two, I want you to notice this. They misused their liberty. Verse 13 tells us that. Verse 13 again says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Right? In other words, here's what Paul said in chapter 6 of Romans. Is that, let's read it. Let's just read it. Galatians and Romans go together, by the way. Romans chapter 6, and verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, verse 1, "What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul says, great idea. No, he says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" In other words, the Romans were thinking that the more we sin, the more grace we get. Does that sound like an elementary thought? You know, it's kind of like saying, "I'm going to go cut myself a lot because I love Band-Aids." I mean, that doesn't sound like a good idea, does it? Like, where are you going? "I'm going to go cut my arm. I need a Band-Aid." "Well, you know what? I'll just give you a Band-Aid." Amen? But can you imagine the Romans were thinking, well, the more we sin, the more grace we get. But God says that He giveth grace unto the humble. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get graced by sin. I want to get graced by God just giving it to me. Because I need it to live. I need it. It is the nourishment of our soul. They misused their liberty. Paul was saying that you live in this liberty. And by the way, we do have liberty. But we don't have the liberty to sin. I use a silly illustration all the time. It's just because I have a driver's license doesn't mean I can drive the way I want to. I don't get out here on the highway and boom, go through the ditches and everything, go around everybody and drive 100 miles an hour. A cop pulls me over and he says, "What in the world are you doing?" And I go, "I have a driver's license." And he goes, "Well, that's great. I need to see that. Do you happen to have an insurance card with you?" And but I mean, really, I have a driver's license. That means I can drive. I have liberty to drive. But is there rules in how I can drive? Sure there is. You know, you can go to Six Flags. I don't know why, just to get sick. I get sick watching. And you can walk in there and you get your pass, but you don't walk up the front line and go, "I've got a ticket." Well, so do all these 100 people that are waiting in line. But see, here's the thing, is that they misused liberty. In other words, they thought because they had liberty that they could do what they wanted to. But listen, God has given us liberty, yes, but we have liberty to serve Him. See, the law demanded things. God wants things. God never, none of us are going to not do something. And God, like Pastor always said, I love the illustration Pastor always gives. He's not Zeus up there with a lightning bolt waiting on us to mess up. That's not our God. Our God woos us to Him by love. Our God will correct us, right? God will correct us. God will chasten us, but He does it in love, just like I would chasten my kids. I would not chasten my kids because I'm angry and I want to be the bully. That's not how God is. God loves us and He woos us to Him. They misuse their liberty. I believe that happens a lot in this life as people take advantage of the salvation they have. You know what would help all of us is to wake up every morning and remember what Jesus endured on the cross of Calvary. Matter of fact, look over at verse 24, I believe it is, 5:24. He says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." See, every day we're to wake up and live the crucified life. We're to wake up and let go of the things of the flesh, and He lists them down there, verse 20 and 21. We should live a life of liberty, yes, but we are to live a life of liberty that pleases the Lord. Now let me give you the last thing tonight, because this is the biggest thing we see in the book of Galatians. I wrote two things down here. I'll give you both of them, because I was going to be nice, but the other one's not so nice. It's nice to y'all, I'm just saying, not to the people we're talking about. Number three, they were misled by liars, or as I put down first, losers. They were misled by liars. And all through the Scripture we see how they begin to believe these things. You see, believing lies is not a new thing. It happened in Genesis chapter 3. When the serpent was more subtle than anything, in other words, he was more crafty than any other beast of the field or any other creature at that time. When he came to Eve, he used lies. But he also used something that was beautiful for her to look at. And the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians that think it no thought that Satan can appear as an angel of the light. Not everybody that has a Bible is saved. Not everybody that's wearing a suit or a dress are saved. Because here's what Paul told them. And I'll give you a few things here. But remember back in chapter 2, we talked about, he said that there was false brethren come in unawares to spy out our liberty. There's where God is, Satan always has people there too. That's been true throughout history. That is true even today in our society, is that I believe what happened. Matter of fact, here's what Jesus said. I love when Jesus says something. Let's see what he said. He was very nice about it. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd who own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and the sheep scatter. He said, even amongst the sheep there's a wolf. He says he comes to scatter them and comes to scatter churches. Listen, I believe this tonight. I believe the Galatians allowed people into their church that were not supposed to be in their church. And what happened is that they begin to say, no, do y'all really have to use that Bible? There are so many Bibles out there. I'm telling you, it happens all over our world. That music... Or do you really have to talk like that? Or do you really have to this? Or really do you need to do this? Or whatever it may be. But what happens is that they begin to, and I've heard this so many times, well, we believe in Jesus Christ too, but we believe in Jesus Christ plus this. And listen, here's what Jesus told us to do to them. Matter of fact, several times in verse 1, he said, let them be accursed. Twice he said it. Let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. Matter of fact, he said, mark them that cause division among you. And he said, don't give them Godspeed. Don't even allow them to talk. Listen, when people come to your door, knocking on your door, that are not of scriptural people, I'm trying to be good, you don't argue with them. You pray for them. That's what we ought to do. I'm not going to be hateful to them, but I'm also not going to give them time. Close the door. Say, God bless. Or if you're like us now, we have video cameras on our front door. Right? Don't open it. Everybody be still. And it's the one time Bailey goes, no. Or something like, y'all know how Bailey is. When we try to get quiet in the house, like, she's the loudest she's ever been. There's the one time that, you know, Brody didn't hear it. Or, you know, hey, Brody, be quiet. And he comes like, what, Dad? Like, shh, get down, they're here, you know. And some people do that when on Thursday night or Tuesday night when they know we're out, right? Get the lights, you know, pull the shades. Heritage Baptist Church is here again. And listen to me, though. I mean, listen to the Word of God real quick. Here's what he said in verse 1, again, chapter 5. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Listen, it's not worth going back to where you came from. It's not worth. God himself, through his Son Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And I don't know about you, but there's never been a time. Now, I was raised in Florida. We had blackberry bushes everywhere amongst our property there. We used to pick blackberries. But there was never a time I ever got tangled up in those things. I said, I'd sure like to go back and do that again. You know, and I don't know about you, but I remember when I first moved to Texas. Well, not when I first moved to Texas, but when I pastored down in Burnett, there was mesquite trees everywhere. And I was on the tractor one day. I was cutting church property, and the church down there wasn't fancy as ours. They didn't have the closed cab air conditioning. It was open air. You got to be alone with the Lord and all the dust and all the rocks. And I remember I was going through there, and I was like, oh, there's, you know, a little tree limb. I'll just do this. And later on, I was like, why am I hurting so bad? I'm bleeding and I'm hurting. It was a mesquite bush. Those things hurt. I didn't go, wow, I want to do that again. You know, it's not one of those things we enjoy. But listen, if we're not careful, we can be drawn away by things in this life. Listen, there are people that are so up in arms about Chick-fil-A and President Trump and this and that. You know what? I don't care. Because I serve a mighty God. Now, I love Chick-fil-A. Right? We do. And do I know their heart? I don't know their heart. I love our president. You know why? Because he's our president. And I pray for him. Do I agree with everything he does? Oh, no. And neither does anybody else, right? But you know what? Here's the thing, is that those things are not going to determine what kind of Christian I'm going to be. It's not going to determine. Listen, if tomorrow I wake up and on the news I hear that President Trump has been impeached and Hillary Clinton is now your president, listen, it's not going to change how I live my Christian life. The only thing it will do is cause me to go down on my knees a little longer and seek the Lord. But listen, here's the thing we need to realize is that when we talk about ourselves in present tense, I hope we don't say, well, I used to. I don't know about you, but people ask me all the time, as a preacher, you ever thought about quitting? And I laugh usually when people say that. I'm saying, which day is it? Because I quit yesterday, but I came back. I quit. I had to tell a little story. When I first worked with Pastor Crawford at another church, there was a time that somebody falsely accused me of something. And brought me into the office here, and it's funny now, it wasn't then. And by the way, I was a little more hot-headed back then, because I wasn't far from being lost. I'd not been saved a few years there, and still had my little temper. And so Pastor brought me in there, and he said, did you say this? Did you do this? I was like, I don't even know what's going on here. It was hearsay. I know that people don't do that around churches, but they did. And so Pastor brought me in there, man, I got mad. I did. I lost my temper. I stood up, man, said something, pointed my finger, balled my fist up, whatever I did. But I walked out. I walked to my house, which is across the parking lot, about 20 steps. I was real, I'm here, you know. And I never will forget it. I was in there, boy, I was steaming, and I heard. I was like, I ain't answering it. Bro Wiggins, if you don't answer this door, I'm going to have to let you go. Of course, I was a real man. I'm not talking to you. That's probably the way it came out. I'm like, I don't care. But you know what? I almost quit. I was only like a year into the ministry. And really, I was like, I'm done. If this is how church people are going to treat preachers and staff people, I'm done. I mean, I'd been in it 6 months and I was already done. But you know what? I thank God for Pastor Crawford. Because he come in and held me and said, it's going to be all right, little baby. No, he did not hold me. That'd be weird. But he did. He gave me great advice. He said, sometimes we just apologize and we take one for the team. We've said that a few times. Sometimes you just take one for the team, for the greater good. So I had to swallow that pride. I mean, it was a big lump, too. I went back and said, look, I'm sorry, I lost my temper. I did not admit that he was right. I'm just saying that I was wrong, what I did. And you know what? The Lord worked it out. Because you know what? It was about more than me. Now, I had liberty. I could have punched the little dude and wanted to. And in my mind, I did. But I'm glad God's greater than all that. Because I've been out of the ministry. I just got out of the starting blocks. He's already punched one person. And it's amazing. I never will forget that. Pastor come across the table like, no, stop. You know, I was like, sorry. But you know what? All of us can go through times where we want to just quit. But I want to finish well. Listen, you're going to go through heartaches and trials. I think of some of you that's going through cancer right now, and I'm thinking, I don't know how they do it. I really do. I think of it sometimes like, I don't know how they do that, how they go through that. But I tell you what, they go through it because God gives them the grace to go through it. and God gives them the strength to go through it. And I know people have lost loved ones this week, and wives and husbands and sons and daughters and things like that. And I don't know how you feel, but I do know this. I do know that there's a God in heaven who will hold your hand and will walk you through that time in your life. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then Rakeb's going to come over. We'll sing a verse of invitation. Father, we love you. Thank you for tonight, God. Lord, help us tonight not to have run well, but, Lord, that we are running well. And Lord, that we finish well. Lord, not so we can brag, not so we can boast, but, God, that we can give you the glory for what you've done through our life. Lord, I just want to thank you for the times you've been there and my life, Lord, when I wanted to quit, and Lord, when I wanted to quit the race, and Lord, you just encouraged me through your grace and through others. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your strength that you give us. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight, Lord, just about ready to quit. Lord, help them to just throw away the people that are the naysayers. Lord, those that have come, Lord, help them to understand, Lord, the liberty that they have in you, and that, Lord, the love that they have, Lord, not only from you, but that they can have through them to others and show the love of Christ through their life. Lord, thank you for your scripture tonight. I ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.